We all pray in unity. The Heavenly Father moves them mountains.
Boy, he does. So send your prayer requests. Doesn't matter when. You can do it 24/7, 365. Prayers at bohmglobal.com. We hear from people scattered in different parts of the world. Wherever you are, if you need a prayer team to pray for you, our prayer team gets a results. I mean, we start every service on Sunday morning with the prayer praise reports of all these answers to prayer, and they are so very many. So avail yourself of a great tool when you need prayer. Prayers at bohmglobal.com. And we are going to be starting right now in our second hour, and we are so glad that you all have joined us. And listen real quick to Station ID, and then we'll be right back in about 3 seconds. All right. Always good to have that Station ID. We love doing that. So welcome back to Living the Good Life. I'm Pastor Marcia, along with Dr. Angel and Megan Kramer from up in Michigan now. You're a Michiganer. Yes. How did this happen?
I'm a Michiganer.
Yeah.
So, with a very southern accent.
Oh, okay. Well, your husband got a job up there and y'all moved. That's how it happened, isn't it?
Yeah, we all moved. We all moved. We did.
Yeah. So
it's beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. It's snowy and all that kind of cold stuff, but you love it.
Oh, yes. And so cold and cozy.
Oh, cold and cozy. All right.
There's perspective for you.
Isn't that good perspective?
Yes.
All right, cold and cozy. Well, we're glad you're happy up there. And anyway, we are so glad that you all are joining us here on the second hour of Living the Good Life, live every Sunday afternoon at this time, now in our 11th year, celebrating our 11th anniversary on April the 15th, I believe it is. It is the second or third, whatever Sunday that is. It's the third Sunday of April. We'll be the completion of 11 years on the air every Sunday afternoon. Can you girls believe this?
That I cannot believe.
No.
It's just 11 years. I was 11 years younger when I began this radio show.
So you were only 35.
That's right. I was very, very young at
you
that
were.
Point. Yes. Mm-hmm. So anyway,
I'm about 9 again.
You're about 9. Well, that's about right, Megan, because I think I was 37 when I started pastoring the church in Indiana. Literally, I was 37. So pretty young, and you were, young. So anyway, don't add up anything, people.
No, please don't.
Please don't. So, this whole series, The Power of Love, is so important because, Dr. Angel, so many people do not feel loved. And we kind of touched on this in the first hour. And now we're going to an amazing story in John 11 that just needs more of our time. We just kind of touched the highlights this morning in our service. But we really see the love of God in this particular passage coming up.
Oh, yes. Actually, it's one of my favorite stories.
Why would that be?
Well, you know, as we get into it, I'll kind of share why it became my favorite. Because it's such an example of God's love, his compassion, his empathy, that he feels what we feel. It's just an amazing story to me. Mm-hmm. Really speaks to me.
Oh, I know. It really does me, too. Great are you, Lord. Here we go. Great song to kick off. Casting Crowns. Well, glad you've joined us today, by the way.
You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope and you restore every heart that is broken. Sing it to him. Great are you, Lord, 'cause it's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise, we pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only.
You give life, sing it out.
You give life, you are love. You bring light to the darkness. You
restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. Sing to him, church.
And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Sing it. Great are you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath.
We pour out our praise to him, mighty God. Woo, I love that song. Casting Crowns does such a great job on it. Nan, you got something as we were playing that song God gave you on your computer. I saw you type it away.
It's entitled, I Bring Light and Hope.
Yes.
I am great. I will bring the hope that you need. Trust me and believe that it's so. As you move forward in me, with my strength, you will grow. I am the hope giver in your life. Trust me that you will be okay. Let my strength engulf you now. For you, this is a brand new day. So praise me with all that is within you. I will move in the situations that you face. I love you with all of my heart. You will make it by my grace. I am great.
Praise God. That's him speaking directly to us. Praise God. Thank you for being willing to write that and speak that. Let's go to John 11. We're talking about Lazarus, and a lot of you have heard this story. And this is a man in the town of Bethany that was not far from Jerusalem. He had two sisters, Mary and Martha. We've talked about Mary and Martha before, rather recently. And they all lived together, brother and sisters. And this was, it says in John 11, the first verse, this was the same Mary who massaged the Lord's feet with aromatic oils and then wiped them with her hair. Why is that so important right there, Angel, about who this Mary was? What does that say about this Mary?
Oh, she
there are a lot of Marys, but what does it say about this Mary?
She had a very intimate love for him, for Christ.
Yes, talking about the power of the love of God right here. And it was her brother Lazarus who was sick. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, Master, the one you love so very much is sick. I find that very interesting that Jesus was a lover. He loved people, you know, and this was an example of somebody that just was close to his heart, this trio, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And so they sent a message to him. And Jesus got the message in about verse 4, and he said to his disciples, wherever he was, whatever town, this sickness is not fatal. It will become an occasion to show God's glory by glorifying God's Son. So often we think that the things that happen to us are no good can come out of them, that they are that awful. Megan, talk to us about this. Jesus said, hey, this thing is going to be turn out fine, and we're going to find out what happened to Lazarus in a moment. But he's saying it's going to be an occasion to show God's glory, and we need to look at our life like that, Megan.
Yes, and that's exactly what I do, because, yes, I lost a son, but that doesn't mean that occasion can't be used to glorify God, because that is a testimony that my son is still alive. My son is being cared for in heaven by miraculous angels. He's waiting on me. I have eternal life. There are so many positive things that came out of that circumstance. And that's the difference between walking in the love of God, walking in the grace of God, knowing his peace, than being on the other side of that wall and not having that.
That's exactly right.
It gives you a different perspective on life. And that's what we're going to learn in this story about Lazarus.
Well, and you see right here, Lazarus, Jesus saying, you know what? This is okay. God's going to get glory from it. And if we all approached our issues like that and our problems like that and said, okay, God, I know you're going to get glory in this mess I'm in right now. I don't know how it's going to be. I have no clue how it's going to turn out that you're going to get glory, but I am trusting you that you will. And that's what it's all about, Megan. Talk to us about that, because that's what it's all about, God getting glory in the midst of a very difficult situation.
It is, and I know that that's hard to fathom,
yeah,
but it really is true, because when you surrender to God, when you say, Lord, your will be done, and whatever your will is, I am okay with it, because you know in your knower that no matter what happens, you're going to be taken care of. There's no room for fear or doubt, because your Heavenly Father has got a hold of the situation. And until people learn that, until that they can claim that over their life, they're going to be walking in doubt and fear. And as we said, you can't walk in true love and still be fearful. And so you've got to learn his ways. You've got to learn how much he really loves you. You've got to dig deep and surrender and find out what that feels like.
Whoa.
Because there is a totally different side to life when you know his love than when you don't.
That's exactly right.
I've seen both, and I've been on both sides. And I'm going to tell you right now, I never want to step around the other side of the wall to the ugly side.
No,
It's scary.
It is.
It's very scary.
It is. And so Jesus is reassuring the disciples, you know what? I'm going to get glory. God's going to get glory out of this. And, you know, he really loved this family. It says here in verse 5, but oddly, it says in the Message Bible, when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed on where he was 2 more days. And then he said, let's go over there to Judea and see about Lazarus. And in our human perception, that seems like, all right, Jesus, what were you just being lazy? Were you just wanting to hang out over there where you were, wherever that was? Were you preaching a great revival? Or what was going on that you delayed? Angel, you want to comment on all that?
Yes, I do. Actually, I do. You know, look at this from the human perspective. Like, these are people that Jesus was super close to. He loved them. He had an intimate relationship with them. And they had a problem. And they had a big problem. And they sought for Jesus' help. And how did they feel when he didn't come running to meet that need in that moment? I mean, how do people in our lives, you know, respond when they ask us, oh, I need help, and we're not there for them in that moment? I can only imagine what they're thinking. And although Jesus knew the ultimate plan, he told it to his disciples. There wasn't a messenger that went back to Mary and Martha. Like, it's it's going to be okay. They had no reassurance. So those 4 days or whatever it is that they're sitting there waiting for him to come, what were they thinking? Were they feeling abandoned? Were they feeling rejected? Were they feeling like he didn't care? So often we feel that way with God.
I think we do feel all that.
When we don't hear from him the very moment we feel like we have the crisis.
Because we are creatures that need an answer right now.
Absolutely.
Megan, don't you relate to what Angel's saying? So often we just get desperate for an answer. And when God, we don't feel his presence or we don't feel the situation changing, we can get pretty nasty and mean.
Well, we can, especially when we don't understand that 97% of the time, you're going to have to wait. Because it's in his time, not your time. And I think the problem is, too, is we are in such a society right now where we get affirmation and we get what we want at the snap of a finger.
Yep.
Technology and all those things. But if you step back and look at the story that we're talking about, Jesus couldn't send them a text message and say, oh, I'm 2 days out. Just hang on. I'm coming.
Exactly.
No. He wanted to strengthen their faith. There's always a teaching lesson behind whatever situation you're going through. He
That's
wanted
right.
to make sure that you trust me. I'll be there, but I'll come in my time.
They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, right?
Amen, Pastor.
Okay. And how hard is it to wait? It is. And we see that Mary and Martha had a real hard time waiting. And then we go on, and Jesus says to the disciples, don't worry about this. I'm going to wake him up. He's asleep. And they were thinking, oh, one of them said, Thomas, I think, said, well, you know what? If he's just sleeping, then, you know, he needs a good rest. And you know how we sometimes say, sleep off that flu, you'll feel better. Jesus said, no, in verse 14. No. Lazarus died. Lazarus is dead. I'm glad for your sakes I wasn't there, because you're about to be given, I love this in the Message Bible, new grounds for believing. Now let's go to him. Whoa. And Thomas, Mr. Negativity over here, says, all right, let's go. We might as well die with him. Whatever's going on, we'll get the flu. It's killing him. It's killed him. We might as well go and die too. Oh, I love this passage because it shows the humanity of everyone involved, and it shows the outrageous divinity of Jesus, that he knew what had already happened without even being there. And dear one, God knows your situation with, and you say, well, I can't feel him. He knows your situation. He knows it. And that's what's just crazy miraculous about God. And so Jesus said, Lazarus died in verse 14, and I'm glad for your sakes that wasn't there, because you're about to be given new grounds for believing. You're about to have your faith increase. And I said this morning, and it is not a quote from me. It is a quote from Graham Cook, a great prophet and evangelist of the Lord. And he says, for your faith to increase, you need a problem. Does that remind you, Megan, of the revival that we preached about a year and a half ago in Indiana? That we need problems in order to grow. You want to comment on that? And that's really what Jesus is saying. You're going to get new grounds for believing me. You need this problem, folks. You need it.
Yeah, and that's the way I look at Grayson. That's the way I look at losing him temporarily. It's not a total loss. It's a temporary like, I don't know, holding pattern. That it's a constant reminder to keep me focused on my eternal life. It's a constant
Amen.
Focus to keep me grounded, to know that I need to continue to grow. Because if I don't grow in the Lord, I'm just going to stay where I'm at. And who wants to do that?
Right.
I have a drive to grow in my spiritual life, because I have such a drive now because of that problem. And I hate to call it that, but in quotations, that problem of going through the death of a son that has refocused my attention where it's supposed to be.
There you go.
One's focus is supposed to be, and that's on our Heavenly Father.
Oh, that is so right on. Talk to us, Angel. Right on, right on. That's one reason we go through problems, folks.
Well, you know, you can't have a miracle unless we have some problems,
that's
right?
That's exactly
an impossibility, as a matter of fact, for a miracle. And I think this story sets up a pretty big impossibility. Lazarus has passed on. He's gone. And, you know, and it sets the stage. And I think Jesus knew he needed to not be a part of it so that people couldn't come up with some secondary reason how this all happened, that he wasn't really dead or something like that. Jesus knew that, you know, people needed to see this for God's miracle as it was for God to get the glory.
Exactly.
And so he had a divine purpose, but Mary and Martha had a humanly need in the moment. And
yes.
So, you know, sometimes I think we need to keep that in perspective when we're going through something. We feel like I need this figured out right now. I need God to show up right now. I prayed for this once. I've called out to him, you know, numerous times, and he's not coming through. Well, he's got the divine plan. He's got, you know, we talked about the puzzle this morning about your daughter-in-law putting together a big puzzle. He's got the puzzle box. He knows what the picture's going to be.
Yes.
We just have a few pieces. We don't know where they go.
Right. Megan, I don't know if you saw it on Facebook. I think you're on Facebook with my daughter-in-law, Mary. But she put on a big, huge puzzle that was 1,999 pieces that she just got put together. 1,999 is a beautiful thing that I think will probably be hanging in their home. But, you know, so often we just look at a single piece. The day that Mary dumped that puzzle out on the table, whatever it was she used to put that together, I can imagine how daunting that must have been. You know, look. And that's how it is in our lives. Megan, talk to us about that, because so often we don't see these puzzle pieces. Like Mary and Martha obviously did not, because their brother had gone ahead and died. And death is usually a finality. But in this case, it was not. Go ahead.
Exactly. And you know, coming back to that puzzle idea, is that, you know, when you put a puzzle together and you get so frustrated and you're holding this one piece in your hand and it's like, okay, this has to be right in front of my face, but why can't I find it?
Right.
And it's because you've gotten frustrated. You can't focus because you're just so aggravated. And then all of a sudden, maybe, you know, you step away for a little bit and then you come back and you're like, well, my goodness, it was right there in front of my face. And it's like, because you need to step back, and talking about the same situation with Lazarus, is that they needed that time to kind of get a grip on themselves,
right?
To kind of refocus and say, oh yes, we know that Jesus can heal, we know that Jesus can do anything, and he's coming, we just need to be patient. And
well,
that this lesson is such a life lesson. It's
isn't
so powerful.
It is. And even Martha says this to him in verse 21 of John 11. Martha said, Master, if you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Even now, I know that whatever you ask God, he will give you. So you see her faith right there. And Jesus said, your brother will be raised up. And Martha said, I know he's going to be raised up in the resurrection at the end of time. And Jesus says, wait a minute. We're talking about two different things here. You don't have to wait for the end. I am right now resurrection and life. This is one of the seven I am statements in the book of John. I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me, even though he or she dies, will live. And everyone who lives believing in me does not ultimately die at all. Do you believe this? Whoa, Angel, talk to us. Do you believe this? He puts it right back on Martha. Do you believe this, what I just said to you?
Yeah, I think this is amazing. I love the fact that Martha didn't let herself get angry or bitter about Jesus taking, you know, the time he did. Because it says in my Bible that, you know, he was in Bethany, but that was a 2-mile journey. So here we have multiple days going on. And she wasn't angry about it.
4 days.
And she wasn't angry. How many times do we feel angry, you know, and get bitter or frustrated when we don't get it when we want it? And I love that she's like, you know, well, he's been gone 4 days, but I believe, you know, you can take care of that. That to me is a faith I want, that I strive to have. And so I think that's part of the beauty of this story.
Oh, I love it. Yes. Yes, absolutely. Megan, talk to us before we do the song.
Well, you know, that's something that, you know, the Lazarus story is, as I said, so powerful, but it's such a story that should really catch our attention, that no matter how long we have to wait, no matter how long we have to wait on the Lord
right.
to move, no matter how long we have to wait on that miracle, we should never quit praying for it.
Mm-hmm.
We should never give up hope, and we should never give up faith, because that's what carries us through these times,
exactly.
these rough times.
I think I just sang this a minute ago, right? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Lord, I need you.
Lord, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, your grace is more. The grace is found, is where you are. Where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me.
God, and so we do. Nan's got another poem. Talk to us.
You recognize how much you need me. Just come to me with a sincere heart. I will help you in all that you need. Of you every moment I desire to be a part. I will walk with you in all that you face. I will lead you in the path you're to go. By having the problem that you do, with my help, you will grow. Mm. So call upon me this very day. I will help you in all that you face. You'll be okay. You'll make it because of my awesome, loving grace.
That's that grace coming through. Woo! Oh, hallelujah. When we just don't deserve it, but we get it. We get all that he has for us. It's his grace. It's amazing. You see it right here in the story in John 11 where Martha and Mary have lost their brother Lazarus to death, and he's in the tomb, and he's in there 4 days. And you know, there's most people, not most people, I guess a lot of people around the world have heard this story. Would we all agree?
Yeah.
And four is the number for worldwide evangelism in the Word of God. North, south, east, and west, four. You know, the four corners of the world type thing. And this story has been told over and over again for 2,000 years. And he was in the tomb 4 days. And I mentioned this morning, but it bears repeating, one of the reasons he needed to stay in the tomb 4 days is because the rabbi, the Jewish rabbis taught that on the fourth day of somebody being dead is the day their spirit left and went to heaven. So, you know, this had to prove that thing wrong. This had to prove that wrong, right? Because it's the fourth day. And it also was their teaching that on the fourth day, I mean, the body smelled so bad you couldn't get near it. It was that bad, right? And so Mary and Martha are going, you know, he's been dead 4 days. Can't remember where that was, but it's in here somewhere. And down in verse 28, Martha went to her sister Mary and whispered in her ear, "The teacher is here and is asking for you." The moment she heard that, she jumped up and ran to him, and she said Jesus had not yet entered the town, was still kind of out on the outskirts of town. And Mary runs to him and says, "Master, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died." Talk to me about that, Megan, and then Angel. I mean, look at Mary. She was like, Martha is saying, you know, I know that you can do anything right now if you want to, is what Martha was saying. Mary was saying she was consumed by the death. She was consumed by it. If you had been here, Jesus, where were you? Kind of that kind of an attitude. Talk to us, Megan, then we'll go to Angel.
Yes, you know, that's that lack of faith. That's that fear that set in that consumes all of us, because that's also a part of the grieving process is where are you, God? I went through that, you know, when I came home from the hospital and didn't have my son's physical body. God, where are you? And it's like it took my dad telling me to get up and say, You know who you are. You know he's here with you. So get up. And, you know, that's just that human frustration that I think that anybody would go through, or that anyone goes through in the loss of someone, but especially in the loss of Jesus, is she wondered where he was. But again, it's that waiting period. You never know when God's perfect timing is, but God knows his perfect timing. And he knew that on that day, the day that he knew it was coming, that he would prove to everyone of what a magnificent miracle that he can perform.
Oh, amen. Amen. And you see how much Jesus cared about Lazarus, because John 11:35, the shortest verse in the Bible, says Jesus wept when they got to the tomb. I mean, it really got to him. Talk to us about that, Angel. He was touched with our infirmities. That's what the scripture says in Isaiah 53.
Well, to me, it's one of the most beautiful scriptures in the Bible. It shows his empathy and his compassion.
Yes, doesn't it?
Even though he knew the outcome of this, he can still empathize with our pain.
Yes.
And feel it with us. And that, to me, we have a Savior who feels what we're going through.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And so he sees Mary sobbing. And they were, all the Jews were sobbing. And so in verse 34, "Master, come and see." And now Jesus wept. That's verse 35. There, verse 36, the Jews said, "Oh, look how deeply he loved him." Others said, well, go ahead, Megan. Well, what? If he loved him so much. You see where we are?
Yeah, go ahead, Jesus, and bring me, you know, do your thing. It's kind of like they were taunting.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it's like, you know, I'm sure Jesus just looked at him like, okay, all right, we don't need to do this. You know, you don't have to taunt me. I know how you're feeling. I know you're frustrated because, you know, just like Dr. Angel was saying, is, you know, he knows what it's like to be sad. He was human. He was human on this earth for 33 years. So he knows what we feel. He's felt it.
He does.
And that's no joke. No joke at all. And it's just, it's how he can strongly relate with us.
Oh, yeah.
Is, number one, he created us, and then he sent his son to this earth as a human being. And there's, I mean, what other proof do we need that, you know, that he, out of this story, out of what we see, that that all of the friends are going through when Lazarus passed away, the same emotions that we feel when right. we lose someone that's close to us.
Right.
It's just this, I just, this story, I just love it. Absolutely love it.
Well, I love the fact right here that in verse 37, the people that are all around say, well, if he loved him so much, why didn't he do something to keep him from dying? After all, he opened the eyes of a blind man. Isn't this what we hear skeptics all the time? Angel, talk to us about that. There's skeptics in all of our lives. Well, if God loved, Megan, your baby so much, why didn't he heal him? Well, don't we hear that kind of thing? Go ahead, Angel. Let's
answer. Of course we do.
Yeah,
absolutely. There's skeptics all around us, probably more so than and supporters in a lot of way. And I think that they were not only challenging Jesus' power, but they were challenging their whole friendship that they had. Oh, well, he'll do this for a stranger, but he doesn't come to his friends. He's not here for you.
Good point.
And people feel like that sometimes, especially when we see somebody that we know or we think is not maybe such a good person, and things in their life look like it's going so great. And then we're trying, you know, to get our life together, and we're feeling like, God, why is this person so blessed? And I'm stuck here in this. Why is this happening? You know, how did they get these blessings? And I'm struggling like this. I'm trying to serve you. And we try to compare ourselves like that.
I think the answer to that is because to increase our faith, we need a problem.
I agree.
And we have a hard time understanding that problems are sent. Let's put it this way. Problems are allowed by God in our lives in order to grow us up into all he would have us be and know and work and walk in. Problems really grow our faith. We can't grow our faith without a problem. Megan, talk to us. You are a stronger woman of God today because of what you went through in the loss of your son. I know that because I know you very, very well. You're my second daughter, so I do know you very well, and I know what this has done in your life.
Yes, ma'am. It's, it was a painful experience. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
It was very painful to feel that loss. But standing here today, it's almost 4 years since he's been gone, which seems absolutely impossible.
Wow.
But, it's just amazing to look back at what I've gone through and then look ahead today and see where God's taken me.
Right.
And how God is using me because I led him, because I'm okay with what happened. There's no other way to be. I'm not going to be angry at God. He didn't do it on purpose. He didn't do it to hurt me.
Right.
He molded me out of that situation into the person that I am today. And I'm not saying that I'm better, but I'm stronger because I know now. And I've known of God's love my whole entire life, you know, growing up as a child. But I know God's love more now, more intimately than I've ever known in my life. Because,
exactly.
Yes, I experienced it with Grayson, and it was just so, so powerful. But I've also experienced it in the move that I've made to Michigan because I've learned that the only person that I need in my life to survive is God.
Is God.
I need God's love, and it carries me every day, and it's just like that song that we played. I wish I could spend my whole entire day, every hour, on my hands and knees,
right,
praising him, because
exactly,
he is the only way that I'm here doing what I'm doing.
Exactly.
It's his strength.
And, you know, just like with this, whatever sickness took Lazarus' body, with Grayson, it had to do with underdeveloped lungs. And, you know, those things that happen in life, so many times people blame God for it. You know, God didn't
right.
cause it. God decided to have a better purpose come from that. And Grayson's purpose is being fulfilled. We're talking about him right now and what's happened
Amen.
In your life as a result of this experience. And some of our listeners right now that possibly are going through very difficult physical problems, perhaps bad diagnosis, whatever. You know, God wants to get glory in your situation, regardless of how hard it is or how hard it feels. Talk to us, Angel.
He does. I mean, that's his purpose, and that's how the world can see our God and who our God is mm-hmm. through the glory that he manifests yes. in our humanly lives and
yeah.
in our ruts and our problems and our despair.
Yes.
And when people can watch and know what's going on in the world and know, you know, this tragedy has happened or this, you know, diagnosis is happening, and watch our faith and watch us come with a strength that the world doesn't know on their own, that manifests to the glory of God right there.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And it's all about allowing that problem to be used by God to increase our faith, to change us in areas where we're weak. And you know, In the last year, I've gone through some really tough things in a certain area of my life. But I can say I'm stronger in that area where my faith is concerned now than I was a year ago before that trial started. And we need a problem, folks. We need a problem to grow our faith. And look what happened here with Mary and Martha. So they go to the tomb. And in verse, I don't know, it's about, I don't know, 38 or 39, the sister of the dead man, Martha, says, "Master," because, you know, Jesus was, he's ready to do something about this. And Martha said, "Master, by this time there's a stench. He's been dead 4 days." Jesus looked her in the eye. "Didn't I tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" Whoa. And then to the others, "Go ahead and take away the stone." Now, at this point, I can see Mary and Martha just absolutely having a hard time. You know what I mean, Megan? I mean, yeah. They're talking about opening the tomb of their dead brother. The smell is going to be overwhelming. And the Jews taught that his spirit had already left that day. You know, how coming against tradition was this event for Jesus to say, "Roll away the stone"? And you know what's interesting about this? It's a pre- what am I trying to say, Angel?
Foreshadow.
A foreshadow of when the angel rolled away the stone over Jesus' tomb. And so talk to me about that, Angel, because this is exactly, then we'll go to Megan, what was going on right here. Jesus gave us a picture lesson of what was about to happen with his stone in front of his tomb.
He sure did. And I love the humanness of Martha, that she's not really thinking about how is he going to come from the dead, but that Jesus couldn't handle the odor of what was behind there. I just love where our thoughts go sometimes. But you're right. Jesus had to give us that foreshadow of what he can do and what he was about to do for all of humanity.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that makes this story so beautiful, you know, and he said, "Did I not tell you, if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" And that's a conditional. If we believe, we will. That's our guarantee. That's our promise.
Woo! Megan.
Well, you know, going against tradition, I think, is God's nature. Because we have, and I don't mean to chuckle, but it is, because He's not going to move in your life the way that you think he is. He's not going to do it.
I'll chuckle for you, boy, and that the truth. Yeah.
It is. You know, and I'm just going to tell you, you better hold on to your socks, because
I don't have any on today, so this works well.
Well, then hold on to your flip-flops, okay. Floridians.
All right.
Okay?
Right.
And your sweet tea.
Yeah.
But, you know, hold on to your socks, because when you surrender to your problem, when you surrender to God and you tell him, "Lord, I want you to move in whatever way you need to move,"
right,
then be ready, because the move is going to change you.
Yes.
And it's going to change you for the better.
Woo!
It's going to open your eyes to a new circumstance. It's going to open your eyes to a new miracle. It's going to open your eyes to the true meaning of the love that the Father has for you. Because when they were concerned about the odor knocking Jesus off of his feet, he wasn't. because he knew what was coming. So don't fear the traditional outcomes, because those traditional outcomes are thrown to the side when you let the Heavenly Father take over your situation.
Exactly right. Go ahead and take away the stone. They removed the stone. And Jesus raised his eyes to heaven and prayed, Father, I'm grateful. He decides to just spend a little time in prayer right here. Father, I'm grateful that you have listened to me. I know you always do listen. But on account of this crowd standing here, I've spoken so that they might believe that you sent me. Then he shouted. Oh, this'll preach. He shouted, Lazarus, come out.
Woo.
And he came out a cadaver wrapped, from head to toe, and with a kerchief over his face. And Jesus told them, unwrap him and let him loose. Whoa, angel.
Wow. It just, that's the story wows me. And I love how Jesus, he knew who he was in Christ. I mean, he knew who he was with his Father God. He knew right. what his purpose was. He knew inside out. But yet he knew he needed to teach those around him who he was and what right. God's purpose was. So he's thinking right. of the benefit of the people around him, and that command of Lazarus, come out. That's it. He didn't go in there and have all this, you know, hoopla and serums.
He just spoke.
He just gave the word. The power is the word.
Woo! Megan, you want to comment on that before we do the song?
Yeah, you know, there's a song, I think it's by Carmen, that he reenacts this story. And I can just imagine the power and the awe of when he spoke those words, and that these people saw like a mummy come out of this tomb, and it was walking,
right?
And he was alive.
Crazy.
And yes, and you know, some of them probably thought, they just stood there and they had nothing to say because it took their breath away.
Oh,
that's this parable that we're talking about is what God wants to do for you. He wants
yes.
to take literally. Take your breath away.
Right.
He wants to give you a new breath. He wants to refresh you and bring you out of the tomb that you've put yourself in.
Give Me Jesus by Danny Gokey. Let's take a fresh dose of him today. Love it.
Oh, give me Jesus.
Renew your strength in him today.
In the morning when I rise. In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus, give me Jesus, oh, give me Jesus. You can have all.
Jesus,
cause he's all I need.
when I come to die, when I come to die, when I come to die, give me Jesus. All I need, oh, it's all I need. Won't you give me Jesus? Oh, it's all I need.
Lord God, we need you, mighty God. You are the one. You are our source. You are our reason for living. You're all we need. We need you, Lord.
Oh, yeah.
Do a fresh work.
Give me Jesus.
Do a fresh work in us, mighty God. Lord, we bow before you with hearts that acknowledge that we need you. We need your resurrection power and your life working in us. We need you to teach us how to love when sometimes it's hard to do so. We need you to help us really learn to live that life of love. And we need you, Jesus, to be working in our lives in a powerful, powerful way. There's some of you out there in Radio Land right now who need a fresh touch from Almighty God. You've grown stale. You've grown away from God. And God wants to touch you and probably already has through this show and maybe through that last song in particular. And he is saying, come to me, my dear one. Come to me and let me touch your life. Let me heal you. Let me bring you a fresh new peace and let me take your brokenness and let me teach you that all you need is me, saith God. That's what it's all about. Lord, we just ask that you bless every listener that's listening live or later on in years to come to this broadcast. Let this show, let this time that we've spent together talking about you, teaching your word, get down deep into each one of our hearts and change us, because, Lord, we want you to do a fresh work in each of our hearts. That's our goal. That's what we want. Starting with me, with Angel, with Nan, with Megan. Every one of us today, Lord, our desire is to draw closer to you. Let that spill over to everyone around us, Lord, and let us be conduits of your love, your mercy, and your grace. This we pray in the name of Jesus. Ooh, amen and amen. Nan, you got something during that song? Yeah. I got something from God Almighty. Woo, was that ever wonderful.
Amen, Pastor. Mm.
Was that great, Meg, or what?
Oh, woo!
Yes, yes. Go ahead, Nan. And we'll go to you, Megan, in just a minute. Go ahead, Nan. Wait a minute. Forgot your mic.
That's
sorry.
Okay. No problem. You can have my son in your life. All you have to do is invite him in.
There you go.
He will be such a wonderful friend, and upon him you can always depend. My son loves you so very much. He will help you in all the problems that you face. He will comfort you in the trying times, and you will certainly make it by my grace. So, do you want to have him in your life? You can just ask him into your life this very hour. You will feel so much better. You will have his great, wonderful power.
Wow, that's great. And yes, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior right now, you just simply talk to him and say, Lord, come into my life. Live inside of me. Forgive me for anything I've ever said or done that was not pleasing to you. And Lord, I invite you to come and live on the inside of me, to be my Savior and my Lord. And I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that God raised him from the dead. And therefore, I can claim this salvation right now. If that's your heart, then pray it and tell God all of that and watch what he will do. The beginning of a brand new life for you. Megan, quick little final thought. We got to get out of here. Unless you want to go another hour, right. But I don't think we can.
Let's do it.
No, we can't, but go ahead.
I know. You know, basking in the presence of the Holy Spirit, it's an environment that I crave.
Yes.
And I want others to crave it as well, because it's a place of healing. It's a place of rest. It's a place of growth. And it's just a place where we all need to learn to go.
Amen.
Especially in the trials and tribulations of this life.
Yes.
Because they're going to continue to happen. But when we are girthed in the knowledge of the love of our God,
yes,
the situations are infinitely different. And I just Amen. Pray right now that something today that was spoken through any of us, and that the Holy Spirit is going to move mightily
Amen.
In someone's life.
We agree with that right now. Praise God. And thank you, Megan Kramer. You're always a delight. And we will see you soon on the air. Dr. Angel.
Well, there is no love like the love of God. And, you know, you can't know love without knowing his love. And there's so many people that are hurting, and there's so many people that feel, you know, unlovable. They feel rejected. The people have hurt them. People have, you know, thrown them out, like just gotten rid of them. But God won't do that to you. Just reach out and you will have a love like no other.
Amen. Woo. You know what? It's not far to Jesus. This has been Nan and Megan and Dr. Angel and me, Pastor Marcia, bringing you the Word of God today from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. Check out a lot of our shows right here on TanTalkNetwork.com. Go to podcast and then go to Living the Good Life, or go to our website, BOHMGlobal.com, and catch hundreds of shows and listen to the Word of God. It will bless you. It's not far to Jesus. And you know where I'm going to be next Sunday, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. I'm going to be right here in this chair bringing the Word of God to you again next week. Tell your friends and neighbors, 3 o'clock, TanTalkNetwork.com globally, 106.1 FM, 104.3 FM in the Tampa Bay area. God bless you. It's not far to Jesus. God bless you. See you soon. Yeah.